Had to post it. It's news of the year. Had to get my post up. I just want to show y'all. See if we have that post. I just had to get it up. Shocking stuff. So, as you can see, my girl Taylor finally found the love, her love story. She is engaged. We have the wedding of the century. I just had to get that out there. I apologize, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just so distracted. Anywho, for those of y'all who don't know me, my name is Daniel Hunter, and I am a member of the preaching team here at High Point. And I'm glad you are here with us on this wonderful Family Sunday. It's great to see cross-generational worship and to see families worshiping together, the church as one together. And as we have done throughout the year on Family Sunday, our series has been called Real Jesus. We've talked about selective Jesus for those who the Jesus for the people that look like me. Last time we did the Build-A-Bear Jesus when we talked about we only want to accept the good stuff and not the bad. And this morning, we're going to take a look at social media Jesus, the one who fits our profile. And as I thought about this, my mind kept going back to the idea of the algorithm. And any of you that spend any time on social media have an understanding of what the algorithm is. For those of you that have healthy social lives and don't spend all your time on social media, I'll explain to you what that is. It's a program all social medias use, companies use, to track what you watch. It tracks what you follow, what you like, what you interact with, what you spend most of your time engaging with. And it takes all that information that's gathered, and then it feeds you stuff that is similar to the stuff that you are interacting with. For example, let's say you are on TikTok, for instance, and you choose to watch a cooking video. And you watch the video the whole way through, you like it, you comment on it. Well, what TikTok is going to do from that moment on is it's going to feed you videos similar to that. And it can be any type of content, but what it does and what the businesses are trying to do is it's a way to curate information that you receive based on what you interact with. So it's giving you the things it thinks you like. One of the sad effects of this is that we no longer interact with people who don't think like us. We don't have to engage with ideas different than our own or things we don't like. It has created, I think, in society and in social media itself, these echo chambers. I can shut off people I don't agree with. I can live my life and only see the things I like and only see the things I agree with. And I get to be right about everything because what is fed back to me is the things that I agree with. And for me, it isn't just a social media issue that exists. It's a phenomenon that I think it moves its way into our day-to-day lives. And in my opinion, it has infected the church as well, as we all just want to exist in our echo chamber, and we all want to be fed the things and the ideas that we like and that we agree with. We want a faith. We want a Jesus. It isn't really about Jesus, but it's about fitting our needs. It's about fitting our social or political or cultural worldview. I'm only going to surround myself with the like-minded people that believe in the same Jesus that fits my own profile. We cut ourselves off from the world, and how can anyone else be a part of it? See, here's the sticky part of all of this. Your faith, your relationship with Jesus, it isn't about you. It's about him. It's about who he is And it doesn't fit into one profile, doesn't fit into one worldview, it doesn't fit into one cultural aspect. We have to step out of our echo chambers and realize that Jesus doesn't fit into all we want him to be. That's what we see in our story today, which I'm going to read for us. So if you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, we're going to be chapter 7, verses 36 through 50 today. So, sorry, notification. What do we got here? Oh, we got some comments. What do we got here? Let's see. Oh, man. The album after the wedding is going to be fire. I can't disagree. What else? What? Can't believe it's finally happened. Big news is traveling. It's getting around. That's pretty cool. All right. Anywho, sorry. I keep getting distracted. Let's get back to our passage. Now, I won't read the whole story for us today, but I will give you a bit of the backstory. This is a response to Luke 7, 31 through 35, which Jesus is performing miracles. And as the Pharisees witness this, they kind of want to take a closer look at Jesus and see if he is who he really is. Is he really a prophet? So what do? They invite him to dinner. And as they begin, and as our passage begins, it describes a woman of the city who is a known sinner. She comes in with a jar of ointment, and while weeping, she wets his feet with the ointment and then dries them with her hair. All of this, for the time, culturally scandalous, out of bounds, would not be accepted. And this is what the Pharisees witness as they're trying to determine if Jesus is for real. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who was touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one who was owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one I suppose for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss from the time I came in. She has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but he has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this? Who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, it can seem like there's a lot to unpack here, but in all honesty, for me this morning, it's a pretty straightforward message. It just isn't one we are willing to accept. Sorry. Lincoln. I forgot my water this morning. See, today in our society, in our culture, we seem to lead with judgment and condemnation. Those are our initial interactions when we see people different than us. We see people that choose to live their lives differently than us. We don't lead with curiosity. We don't lead with love, forgiveness. Those are never our initial reactions to those people. Sorry, guys. This is embarrassing. Oh, gosh. All right. What do we got now? Let's see. Why are people freaking out over this? That's getting a little mean. What else we got? Great. Now this is all they'll talk about in football season. Seem to be getting a little off track, but whatever. All right. Fine. Sorry. I didn't expect this many people to engage. It's just Taylor. You put Taylor Swift in the post. Everyone comes running. Back to the message. So as I said earlier, these women's actions for the time are extremely scandalous, deemed to be out of bounds, especially with her reputation that she has. They, as Simon says, obviously he would know who this woman is. And then we have this awkward moment in interaction. We don't know if Simon is mad or disgusted. It doesn't really give us a window into that, but he does begin to question Jesus. This whole idea, like, if you're a prophet, you should know who this is, and that's kind of beneath you. You shouldn't be with this person. You shouldn't let this person touch you. You shouldn't associate with this person. But this is where Jesus begins to introduce this new order to who he truly is, which is wildly different than anything they've experienced before. The idea of love and forgiveness over condemnation and judgment. And he gives this powerful parable of the two men who were both forgiven of a debt, but then the different levels of gratitude that exist. One man is forgiven 500 denarii and the other is forgiven 50. And of course, the one forgiven the greater debt is going to be more grateful because his debt is greater. But it's in this moment he's exposing to Simon that all of us are debtors to God. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And I think sometimes in our pride, we want to tell ourselves we're the person with 50, and so we don't have to be as grateful. And we get into this comparison of debts, and we place ourselves above one another. Spurgeon says, all men are debtors to God, yet some are greater debtors than others. He then goes on to compare how the two have treated him by comparison. As his guest, Simon didn't even offer him water for his feet. He didn't anoint his head with oil. While this woman did both, extending more courtesy and grace towards Jesus than the actual person's home he is in. Two people confronted with Jesus himself and two wildly different approaches and mindsets. And I would say both of those mindsets still exist today when it comes to our faith and how we treat others. How often do we take advantage of God's, or not take advantage, but take for granted God's presence in our life, that he is just there? And we go about our day, and it's no big deal. Or the other, to humbly bow before his feet, to do whatever we can for forgiveness because we understand the depths of our need for him. When was the last time you actually felt like you needed him? And then those who are appalled by that behavior because they think they have it all together. Their sin isn't that bad. It's not that great. Oh, what do we got now? Let's see. Let's see what there's. Travis is too old at this point. He has to retire. We're not even talking about her anymore. Okay, that's not even about Taylor. Get the connection, though. Next, this is the Cowboys' year. Finally, they're going to get it done. I guess they didn't see some other news this week. That is just unfortunate. But you know what? You got to have belief, right? All right, sorry, I'm distracted. Especially with that Cowboys thing, that's wild. We are constantly surrounded by people that may not fit what we feel is worthy of love and forgiveness. There might be people at your job or at school that are different from you, that think differently than you. And maybe sometimes we want to disqualify those people from love and grace and forgiveness. You might be thinking in your head of a group like that right now. Their actions or beliefs make them not worthy of forgiveness or grace or mercy or love or dignity or respect even. And I just have to say, thank goodness we aren't in charge of determining that. You see, when we seek a Jesus that fits our profile, we become filled with pride because we think we are the ones that are in charge. That we are the ones that get to determine who is in, who is out, who is worthy, who is unworthy. And then we exist and it becomes these culture wars that take over, and it's no longer about Jesus. It's no longer about who he actually is. It's about behavior. It's about morality. And we shut people out. When was the last time you truly humbled yourself before him with tears in your eyes because you knew you needed him? You knew you needed forgiveness. Between our sinning woman and the Pharisee, which one has shown the correct heart and attitude and approach towards Christ? Now, we may logically know the answer to that, but how often do we actually approach him that way? Or are we at times attempting to use him as a vessel to disqualify others? We try to use Scripture as a vessel to disqualify others of grace because we don't feel like they are worth it. And so we say to ourselves, does he know who they are? Yes, he knows who they are, and he loves them still, and he will still extend them grace and love and dignity. You see, the way we treat others is a reflection of how we view Christ. Have we let culture, society, politics, worldviews infect that and obstruct our view? Have we allowed the echo chambers to cut ourselves off from those who we are supposed to be interacting with and showing grace to? All right, this is it. This is the last one I'm doing. Last one, then I'll put on silent. I promise. All right, what we got? That Cowboys Netflix documentary looks really good. I need to check it out. What? All right, what else we got? Netflix has gotten way too expensive. I can't even afford it anymore. What? How did we get from Taylor Swift's engagement to Netflix prices? What is happening? I mean, have y'all ever seen a social media thread, those of you that are on it, kind of have that same flow before, where the conversation that takes place kind of gets so far off from the original purpose that it just leaves you wondering what happened? My example this morning might be a bit extreme, but I've seen it. Threads and posts getting derailed and people losing the heart of the original message because they have something they need to say. They have a point that they want to get across, and this is their opportunity. I find that happening amongst us as followers of Christ. We are wandering so far off from the track of his original message that we are losing the real Jesus. We are getting our individual social media Jesuses that we use to fight with others about and take others on. We're so far off from the original message. We need to get out of our algorithms. We need to get off our For You pages and seek the real Jesus, not the one that helps us fight with our neighbor, not the one that helps us disqualify others from grace and dignity. This will cause discomfort and it won't be easy. But I do think it will show you that we are all in this together. We are more similar than we are different because we all need him ultimately. And shaming others into following Christ will never work. As Walt Whitman said, be curious, not judgmental. Thank you.